You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Balls, your team every day. I'm your host, Harry Kane. Thanks so much for hanging out with me here every weekday morning when you get up. This podcast, it's available wherever you get your podcasts. The new Odyssey app, the Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, @_Kane or @LockedOnBalls. You can find it many, many different places, pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. So thanks for hanging out with me here today. Going to be a fun show. We're going to continue breaking down the Joe Milton transfer from Michigan to Tennessee. That'll be here in segment one. In segment two, it's Ward Wednesday. That means we catch up with Josh_Ward. Of course, you know him, former host of Locked On Vols. That's coming up in segment number two. And in segment number three, I'm going to bring that Tennessee basketball conversation to light, and we're going to discuss what should the expectations be for Tennessee basketball. All that here on a Wednesday, Locked On Vols, here a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, you guys know me. I'm Eric Kane, your host at too many jobs, at the Sports Animal here in Knoxville, Tennessee, VolQuest.com. I was trying to say Rivalry Thursday. That's not even season right now, but I do that as well. But one of my favorite things I do is host this podcast here, Locked On Vol. So without further ado, let's get into it. And well, sidebar real quick, before we get down into it really, I did have to cut out one of my questions from Twitter Tuesday yesterday because it was such a jam-packed show. I chose to cut out Matthew Osborne's question. He's one of my buddies, and that's exactly why I cut his question out. I wanted to get to the majority of you guys that I don't know as well yet. But Matthew, I'm sorry. You gave me a hard time earlier yesterday, so here it is. Ozzie's question was, How many players on this team right now will be future NFL starters, and tell me why it will be Jalin Hyatt? yeah, we'll have to see. I think Hyatt needs to get a little bit bigger. I think he needs to get a little bit stronger. You know, there were guys that sneezed on him last year and he fell down. I know that's kind of weird to say because it was the COVID year, so you know what I'm saying. He was an easy takedown, but he's got elite speed, top-end speed. He's a deep threat. I think he runs crisp routes. I think that he's easily... you know, he and Valus Jones Jr. are the leaders in that wide receiver room without a doubt. And so, you know, we'll have to see for Jalin Hyatt as he goes down the road, but I think he's certainly on a path to do just that. Outside of Jalin Hyatt, because of course Oz brought him up, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, I'm trying not to make this a negative segment, and if I'm wrong, correct me if you guys have any, you know, thoughts of your own, but Cade Mates, probably the only other one that I could see starting at the next level in the National Football League at some point. There's a lot of guys on the defensive line right now, but not a lot of standouts. Linebacker, we're going to skip over that. Defensive backfield, I like the personnel back there, but I don't know. I mean, it's an exclusive group there in the National Football League. Again, we talked about Hyatt. I think, you know, at wide receiver, he's the only one I'd mention right now. Running backs, not going to mention anybody. Quarterbacks, not going to mention anybody. Tight ends, not going to mention anybody. And offensive line, Cade. So I would say Hyatt, Cade Mays right now would be my two. Starting with Cade Mays, we'll have to see about Hyatt down the road, you know, and how he continues to progress. But now let's get into today's topic. Let's continue to break down Joe Milton real quick. So Joe Milton, the transfer quarterback from Michigan, okay, and the news broke that he was committing, or he will commit to Tennessee formally later this month, but news broke from Pete Thamel, Yahoo Sports, VolQuest.com, so many different outlets, ESPN jumped on it, that is happening. And this has been in the works for quite some time, guys. We had heard rumblings of Joe Milton coming to Tennessee weeks ago. I'm going to be completely real with you. So I don't believe it's one of those things where Tennessee's coaching staff went out there and said, all right, I see my quarterbacks right now in this room. I see what they've given me for 11 practices. I don't like it. I'm going to go find another guy. I really don't think that's what it is. Having said that, I think you come in, you see what's on paper, you watch the tape, you see what you're inheriting, and you see the numbers, and then you say, okay, well, we could probably use another quarterback to not only come in here and compete for a starting job, but to push the others. And, oh yeah, it's 2021, the one-time transfer rule is just about around the corner, which had actually happened last week. There's going to be a lot of attrition, and that's just kind of where we are right now. So it wouldn't hurt to go out and find another quarterback. Yes, Tennessee has glaring needs all across the board. Depth in the secondary, linebacker, some other spots as well. But, you know, quarterbacks, you got to fix quarterback. You got to do whatever you can to fix quarterback, and that's what Josh Heupel's trying to do. So you go out and you get Joe Milton. He's not on campus right now. He'll come in. He'll take part in summer workouts, and he'll be with the team for fall camp, and he will be competing for a starting job. I think he will have every opportunity to do just that. I'm not saying, again, I said yesterday morning on the radio show on the Sports Animal, I mean, if I'm handicapping it right now, it's hard for me to not handicap a player that's in the room right now, because you are running through this offense. You are in front of those coaches for right, wrong, and indifferent. You are in front of those coaches' eyes every single day right now. And so Joe Milton's not. Joe Milton, we heard from Isaiah Hull from USA Today Network and, of course, the Locked On Wolverines podcast yesterday, you know, singing the praises of Joe Milton, and that's good for the potential. But he also said that he's a guy that kind of fell victim of the no spring, kind of the weird offseason, of course, the condensed schedule for the Big Ten. And I believe all that can be true. Don't hear me wrong. But in saying that, Joe Milton is essentially stepping foot in that same exact situation, at least for no spring practice here, you know, leaving, going to a new team. And so, you know, we'll have to see. I think intangibles, he's got it all. He's a big guy, 6'5", 245. He does have starting experience now. Of course, he played under, Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, who, you know, is great at developing quarterbacks. And I know the jokes about Michigan always finishing third in the division, but it's been a top 25 team consistently outside the 2020 season here for the better part of the last couple of years. But he finally got his chance in 2020, and it started off hot. It ended very, very sour. He started 5 of 6 regular season games. I mean, he threw 22 passes. He threw 51 passes, 34 passes. He threw the football around a lot. And what I like is his intangibles of extending plays with his legs. Look at his first start of the season, his best start of the season against Minnesota. 15 of 22, 225 through the air, a touchdown, 8 rushes, 58 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, that's getting her done. I think if you're Tennessee, if you're Tennessee's fans, if you're Tennessee's coaching staff, you will take that every single day. From there, against Michigan State, he went 32 of 51. That's probably too many passes, in my opinion. 51 passes, goodness. 300 yards, and he added 59 yards on the ground. And then you see the numbers start to skew a little bit. 18 of 34 against Indiana on November the 7th, 344 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. 9 of 19 against Wisconsin a week later, 15 yards on the ground. Then against Rutgers, this is when he gets pulled. He went 5 of 12 passing, 89 yards. And then finally against Penn State on November 28th, the last game that Michigan played in the regular season, 1 of 3 passing. He came in relief. He didn't start that game. So you saw the numbers start to dwindle. He finished the year passing for, what was it, just over 1,000 yards. Let's see. 5 starts under center, 8 of 141 passing attempts, 80 of 141. God, that'd be bad if it was 8 of 141. For 1,077 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He averaged only about 7.5 yards per pass attempt, I believe is what I saw on his college reference page. And his passing completion was only 56%. So it's not great, okay? It's really not. I do believe that the tools and the intangibles are there. I've liked what I've saw in spots on film, but just like with every other quarterback on roster right now, out to find consistency and out to prove himself. And so Joe Milton coming to Tennessee, that doesn't make me say, okay, Milton's your starting quarterback week one. I'm not ready to say that right now. But having seen all three of these quarterbacks so far in spring practice, and Hendon Hooker, Brian Maurer, Harrison Bailey, none of those guys are screaming I'm the guy either. So again, more competition, and I really do like the skill set of Milton, and I'm intrigued to see how he adapts, how he learns the install, how he learns this offense, and how he takes coaching from Josh Heupel and Joey Halsey. Am I ready to say Milton's your starting quarterback week one? Absolutely not. But could one other quarterback start week one and week two? Milton take it the rest of the way? We've seen that before. We'll have to see. It's all too early to make these types of predictions right now, but what we do know is Tennessee's quarterback room added a player. The competition will continue to get increased, and we will have to see where the chips fall, you know, week one against Bowling Green at the 1st of September. So we will have to see, and certainly we'll have to see who is still in the room. We'll continue talking Joe Milton on the other side. Plus, we'll check in a little Tennessee basketball with Josh Ward coming up for a part of Ward Wednesday. That's coming up here in a moment. But guys, Built Bar first. I told you about my friend on Monday about, he said, hey, do you really engage? Do you really eat and order those Built Bars? Or are you just saying all that? Of course I do. I wouldn't lie to you guys. Built Bar, it's the best tasting protein bar I've ever had. It tastes like chocolate, 100% chocolate. It tastes like a candy bar, but it's a protein bar. And so I was like, well, of course I do. And he said, all right, well, you got me. I ordered me a box of Built Bar, and I use that promo code LOCK15 and I got 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And I was like, dude, that is the whole point of doing these live reads. So job well done on me, job well done on you, and let me know what you like. Well, let me know the kinds you ordered and all that. So he'll be awaiting by the mailbox here over the next couple of days when Built Bar sends him his package. But you can be like my friend Mark, all right? Go to BuiltBar.com, lock15 for 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. We're talking about all the flavor profiles, cookies and cream, cherry, coconut, almond. It is low sugar, high protein, high fiber, low calorie, great for your keto diet. Get that pick-me-up at 2:30 in the afternoon with a Built Bar. Find all the flavors you want and more, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. The Locked On Podcast Network's covering the NFL Draft from all different angles. Catch up on the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Odyssey. It's out now. You can follow Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast for the latest draft news. And stay tuned for more information about our live NFL Draft coverage in the coming days. It's that time of the week again. We have Ward Wednesday. Josh Ward joins the program. Josh, how are we doing today?
Hey, doing well. Great to be with you.
Yeah, obviously some news that came down the pipe earlier this week. Another transfer coming on to the Tennessee football program, Joe Milton. It's not official yet, but it will be here in a little bit. What are your thoughts on Joe Milton adding his talents to the QB room?
Well, I think there are a number of thoughts here. One, I think that Joe Milton will come in and create competition at the quarterback position as the starting spot, and how that will play out over the course of this season is to be determined. Milton didn't play very well at Michigan, and I know you've covered that here on the show, Eric, how he performed, what went on up there in Ann Arbor. But Milton is also a talented player in terms of he has the size, he has the arm, he has athleticism. He was highly touted coming out of high school, and there is a connection down there in Orlando where Josh Heupel was coaching, where Milton was coming from before he went to Michigan. And also, it has to make you wonder, will somebody else leave? Because the idea that Tennessee will have five scholarship quarterbacks this fall is unlikely. So I think Tennessee is continuing to try to figure out what the options can be at quarterback, create competition there. Now, the question is, at the start of the season, can he win that job in such a short amount of time? He will not have gone through spring like the other players have. So I think this is a conversation that will be ongoing up to the start of the season and then probably during it.
As we heard here on Locked On Vols on yesterday's show or a couple days ago show, spoke with Isaiah Hull, covers Michigan for the USA Today Network, of course, the host of Locked On Wolverines. And he kind of equated Milton as a guy that he was a three-year guy in the system, but it was his first year being a starting quarterback. He had hardly any playing time before. And the fact that he missed spring, the fact that it was not a normal offseason, the fact that the season was condensed, he thought he was a victim of that kind of weird schedule. I mean, at the end of the day, he didn't play great, but thought that he could have very much benefited from a normal offseason. Now, he's leaving Michigan, stepping foot into Tennessee, having gone through that same exact situation. So, for me, I think we should pump the brakes on Milton being your starting quarterback for now, because there's no guarantees he's going to be out there week one ready to roll, having come in and compete and earn it and learn this new system under Josh Heupel.
Yeah, I agree with all that. An abnormal offseason hurt him last year. Well, this is an abnormal offseason, you're right, at Tennessee for him, because he's not going through everything like his teammates have. And, I think Hendon Hooker is the likely starter right now at the start of the season. That's subject to change. We're having this conversation in April, not in August. So 4 months from now, maybe we do say something different. Maybe I have a different thought there. But I think it's Hendon Hooker right now, but let's see how he performs. Let's see if he's a guy that can go out there and do all that the coaching staff will ask in terms of making plays, taking care of the football. Who is a part of this roster? What is Caden Salter's situation? I think it's difficult to expect him to be ready to be a starter at the beginning of the year, considering he still needs his suspension lifted, and he will have missed spring, which was going to help him in terms of trying to jump into the competition. But again, maybe something can change there. So there's just a long way to go with this position. But I think Tennessee's coaching staff is trying to do everything it can to get as many options on the table and then find the best one. The confidence that fans should have is that Josh Heupel's had a lot of success coaching quarterbacks, and whoever is out there playing, I think, should perform better than what Tennessee has seen the last few years. But good enough to get where Josh Heupel wants it to be, that's very much to be determined, at least for 2021.
We're taking a deeper dive here into Joseph Milton here on today's show, and
I think this has been in the works for quite some time. I think that Tennessee was targeting a quarterback in the transfer portal even before spring practice even began. So it's not like this all happened just on Monday afternoon. I think it's been happening for quite some time. But having said that as well, I still think that it might be too early to say, hey, we just don't have our guy right now. I don't coach quarterbacks. I'm not Josh Heupel. But I think both can be true in saying, okay, I want some more insurance. I want to bring in another guy for competition. And also saying, all right, well, Brian Maurer, Harrison Bailey, Hendon Hooker, you've only known me and you've only seen me on the practice field 11 times. It might be too early to say, okay, I know for a fact that you don't have it for my system. Can both be true in this situation? Because I think both can be true.
Yeah, I think there are a number of issues or options here at play for Josh Heupel. I know that he said the other day that the quarterbacks are light years ahead of where they were at the start of the spring. I also think that Josh Heupel has been trying to talk up players at every position, which has been a good move because this is a team and a program that's been beaten down. But talking players up is one thing, how they're performing behind the scenes, which we're not seeing, you know, for the most part. That's something we should point out, and that's why eyes will be on the quarterback position on Saturday at the Orange and White game. Maybe somebody emerges. Maybe Hendon Hooker goes out there and makes big-time plays. Maybe Brian Maurer does. I don't know. I know that fans are starting to ask, okay, what's going on with Harrison Bailey? He was so highly touted, and he's still just entering his second year at Tennessee, and it's his second coaching staff to try to learn from. Long way to go for Harrison Bailey. But I don't think anything's determined yet. And it's easy to pick Hendon Hooker as the starter right now because he's the most experienced. He is the he's the guy that's shown the most to this point in game action with what he did at Virginia Tech. Brian Maurer's shown flashes. Harrison Bailey showed the throwing ability, but in terms of leading an offense successfully, he hasn't shown much there either. So you come back to Hendon Hooker as the default. But as time moves forward and they have a chance to show things behind the scenes of the coaching staff, coaches' opinions could change. But right now, like if Tennessee had to play a game this week, I'm just pretty confident in saying that, well, they'd go with Hendon Hooker. And that's why he's my pick right now for the start of the season. But let's see if something changes. Let's see if somebody outperforms the other this upcoming Saturday.
Yeah, I would agree with you as well. I think if the season started tomorrow, Hendon Hooker would get the start. That's why I'm confident in him week one. Now, the duration of the season, that's a different story. Josh, we'll get you out of here on this one. I do want to ask you about basketball. A major week last week when you picked up a pair of commits, and then, of course, John Fulkerson returns to the mix here for 2021. And I'll just flat out ask you, I think some Tennessee fans might have learned, and media members for that matter, might have learned their lesson last year in terms of preseason aspirations. What should the expectations, what should the aspirations be for this Tennessee basketball team looking ahead? Because now, on paper, it's a new look, but it's a very, very talented bunch yet again.
Yeah, I think fans should be really excited here. And I agree that the way last season played out will cause some fans, and I think media who are going to be making predictions for the upcoming season, to be a little more hesitant, a little more skeptical about what Tennessee will do. And part of that's because there will be more people buying into Alabama because of the season the Tide just had. And people expect Kentucky to bounce back, and I think Auburn to bounce back after a disappointing season. I think all of that is fair. But that can kind of play to Tennessee's advantage, or at least help the Vols. Hype doesn't help a team. Having players and a team built up to be something that maybe it's not ready to be is never an advantage for a team. So, yeah, I think right now Tennessee will probably be picked third to fifth somewhere in the SEC. I think Tennessee will probably be a preseason top 20 team in college basketball. That's how I would project it right now, and I think that's fair. This is a team that will have talent. I think the way this roster is put together, especially with a veteran in Fulkerson coming back, is actually better than what last year's roster was. Now, how does it come together? A more normal offseason. What we said about football applies to basketball, too. That's something that could help this team. It's also a new-look coaching staff, but you have Rick Barnes and Mike Schwartz back, which I think is really good for Tennessee, and the new hires are well thought of. So this is a team that will have a ton of potential. I don't think the expectations will be as high. I don't think the hype will be as big for Tennessee. And for the Vols, I think that's a good thing. But if Kennedy Chandler is what many people believe him to be, and the inside presence is stronger for Tennessee than it was a year ago, offensively, I just think this is a team that will be more consistent and will have a higher upside than what last year's team showed. And if they still stand up well defensively, then Tennessee could be really good in basketball next season.
At Josh_Ward on Twitter. Catch him every weekday, noon to 3 on the Sports Animal. Josh, appreciate it, man.
Always fun. Thanks, Eric.
Big thanks to Josh Ward joining us each and every Wednesday for Ward Wednesday, giving his thoughts on the new quarterback transfer, Joe Milton, to Tennessee, as well as Tennessee basketball. Moving on, we will have more thoughts on Tennessee basketball, get into that deeper conversation I was talking about earlier in the week on what should those expectations be for the Vols here coming up in the 2021-2022 season. But first, the Braves take on the Yankees tonight. Man, I'm a huge Braves fan. The Yankees are the Yankees, even though 5-10 record, worst record in Major League Baseball, tisk tisk. But big series coming up on the diamond, and you know I'm going to be jumping in on that action at betonline.ag. The fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball, full swing right now. The NBA is well into the second half. The NHL is gearing up, looking towards the playoffs. All that and more. Plus, award shows, television shows, and reality TV. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can possibly imagine. BetOnline's got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's completely free to sign up. So on your first deposit, if you go to betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. It's only on your first deposit and if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. So what are you waiting on? They're going to literally hand you over money for playing that first time. That is a nice little welcome bonus right there. So head on over to the website, betonline.ag. Check them out on Twitter as well. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
We got a final segment left here on this Wednesday show, but first, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey. It's happening right now. Featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaConfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team are making trades and picking the next stars for their team. You can search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y, Odyssey. That Mock Draft 2021, or the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, it's awesome, man, and we've been promoting it on our social media. I encourage you, when you're done with this podcast, to check it out. If you're a big NFL fan, they have poured in hours and hours and hours and have nearly 80 contributors to this series that they're doing right now. So some awesome stuff there. I encourage you to check it out. All right, so this is a topic that I previewed a little bit earlier in the week. I had some of you guys chime in for Twitter Tuesday yesterday, and I'll read one or two of them. But I want to have an honest conversation about what we should expect from Tennessee basketball in 2021-2022. And really, it's coming from the end. There's no... You can be excited. First of all, I can't tell you what you can or can't be. I mean, I'm not trying to do that, so don't hear me wrong. But I feel like fans have every right to be excited because this is a... you look at this team on paper and the way it's shaping up, why wouldn't you be excited? Yet again, two of the top prospects ever brought in to this basketball program happening right here in this class, and Brantley Huntley Hatfield and, of course, Jonas Adu, four-star and a five-star, five-star that reclassifies. You've got Kennedy Chandler, of course, one of the top players in the entire country, coming here to Tennessee. You've got Jemiah Mashak, a combo, a wing player that can do a little bit of everything. You've got Quentin Dabunje that is coming in that's got a lot of upside. You've got Justin Powell that's technically a part of this class, a transfer from Auburn that you'll hope will solve some deep-range shooting issues Tennessee suffered with some last year. You've got all these guys coming in, plus you're continuing on with the culture of this program, the backbone of this program, that is a John Fulkerson who decided to return and come back. That is a Josiah Jordan James. That's a Santiago Vescovi. That's Uros Plofsic, Olivia Kumwa. All those type of guys. Victor Bailey Jr. still here. And so, on paper, this is an exciting team. On paper, I think it's a better basketball team than what Tennessee had last year. More complete, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. More complete, because you have some rim protectors. You have four guys, really, if you count Fulkerson, that stand in at 6'9" or above. That's a good thing. Now, is this team there? Absolutely not. I mean, Jonas Adu is going to be a developmental player. Same with Huntley Hatfield as well. I mean, Huntley Hatfield is supposed to be a senior, playing a high school hoops when he'll be playing for Tennessee next year. And so, does this mean that they are going to be polished, ready to go, scoring 20 and hauling down 10 rebounds? No. And I think that's where we get lost in the shuffle and saying, well, he's a five-star. He should be scoring 25 and hauling 10 rebounds a game. No, that's not always the case. I remember when Josiah Jordan James came into Tennessee, and of course he suffered so many injuries, but he was a point guard in high school and he was a pass-first guy. He's never been a scorer. Rick Barnes has made him shoot the basketball, and now, because he's so complete, he can go 2 of 11 from the field but still impact the game in terms of his boards, assists, and defense. And, you know, just kind of stuff like that. If Jaden Springer or Keon Johnson didn't score 20 a game, sometimes I felt like that was a disappointment to some fans, and I feel like it shouldn't be that way. But, you know, having said all that, you know, on paper, again, this team looks complete. This team looks more well-rounded compared to what's been in Knoxville the last couple of years, dating back to, you know, when Grant and Admiral were seniors and kind of leading this team. But nonetheless, I think it's important to temper some expectations. Is Tennessee going to be picked to win the SEC next year? I don't think so. I think, you know, Kentucky's coming back with Arkansas, Alabama still there, of course, and you know, LSU, Florida. I mean, SEC's got some parity now. There's a lot of competition there. Will Tennessee be picked to win the conference? I don't think so. Can Tennessee win the conference? We will have to see. That's TBD. But I do believe there shouldn't be any, I think this team can go to the Elite Eight, or I think this team can go to the Final Four on paper. I would, just my recommendation, take it for what it is, I would stay away from all of that. Because number one, tournament basketball is so challenging in its own right. That's why, as far as coaches, you have so much respect for, this is kind of funny coming from a Tennessee podcast, but for, you know, Calipari at Kentucky, for Izzo at Michigan State, for Kay at Duke, for Williams, who just retired at Carolina. You know, those guys have been to so many Final Fours, Boeheim at Syracuse. And tournament basketball is all about, you know, getting hot at the right time, getting a bounce to fall your way. I mean, Tennessee was a borderline foul call away from going to the Elite Eight 3 years ago. 4 years ago, Tennessee ran into the Cinderella that was, Sister Jean and Loyola Chicago. And do you remember that bounce, that game-winning shot that Loyola got? I mean, it went all around the rim, and that's tournament basketball. And so you have to have so many things go your way in order to make a deep run, even if you're a number one seed, I feel like. So I would stay away from saying, oh, this team, it should be winning the SEC and going to the Elite Eight Final Four. You know, this in program history, this team has never been to the Final Four, okay? It's only been to one Elite Eight. It's tough. And I know Rick Barnes and his pedigree and his resume in terms of postseason play, it's not that impressive. That's what a lot of people like to say. Well, Rick Barnes is just a regular season coach. Well, he has made a Final Four before. And again, if some of those breaks went his way, his teams would have went on. So what happened last year? Unacceptable. I know that I know the team that you bound out against, and it was one of the teams that, you know, went on and made an impressive run. I get all that, but that's no excuse with that talent, despite its struggles, to bow out in the first round game. I think the expectations should be past that for sure, but let's be real about this. This will be a work in progress. Rick Barnes will have his work cut out for him. He's got two new assistant coaches. Okay, you've got, you know, six new players added to the mix. It does help that you retain some Josiah Jordan James and John Fulkerson's to help in all that camaraderie and culture building and all that as well. So my advice, temper expectations a little bit. Take it, you know, week by week, game by game almost, and see how this team develops. But no doubt about it, I think this team's going to be fun to watch. I think this team is so talented, and I think it'll be a really fun and exciting basketball season, you know, whenever they take to the floor, I guess, whenever the season starts in November or whatever. So that's just my two cents. You know, what say you? I said I was going to read one of these. I'll read it right now if I can get into my phone. There we go. This is from Chris Metcalf, a big-time contributor to this podcast in terms of tweeting in questions for Twitter Tuesday and just having dialogue throughout the DMs. What I expect from Tennessee basketball is almost the same as last year, except a couple games. I think our offense will be better, but not great. Our defense will be worse, but not terrible. Losing a rim protector like Pons is big. Yes, I do agree with that. And so, what are your expectations for Tennessee basketball? No rush. We have now until November to talk about it, but still, I think it will be exciting, but I think it's important to remember to temper expectations moving forward. That's just my two cents. Take it for what it is. But hey, I thought all the Final Four chants last year before the season even started was a little overblown, because it's so hard to make a deep postseason run. It's just so many things have to go your way. So we'll have to see, but nonetheless, Rick Barnes does it again. He continues to recruit at an elite level. Tennessee will never have a coach that recruits as well as Rick Barnes, you know, has. So whenever he finally retires or whenever the case may be, if that's 5, 6, 7 years down the road, if that's next year. Tennessee, I'm pretty confident in saying this. I don't believe Tennessee will ever recruit as well as it is now under Rick Barnes ever again. So enjoy it. We'll have to see how this team does develop. Guys, I appreciate it. Had a lot of fun today talking Tennessee football. Joe Milton some more, catching up with Josh Ward and talking a little hoops here in segment number 3. We're going to catch up with some VFLs on the next few shows as we get you ready for the orange and white game. That'll be Saturday, 4 o'clock. I will be on the air twice that day in the morning, 8 to 10 on The Sports Animal, and with Jimmy Himes in the afternoon on The Sports Animal from about 2 to 3:45. So on your way to the stadium, I encourage you to tune us in and check us out. So more and more football conversation on the way as we continue on throughout the rest of this week. Guys, I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, everybody.